This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shanning, 7:48 a.m, Monday the 1st of June. And, we're into June and already it's been quite the chaotic past few days in Malaysian politics as the feud between former Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad and the current Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin continues to escalate. Now, after being sacked from the party that he founded, Tun Mahathir showed up at the Bersatu headquarters on Friday afternoon to meet with Organising Secretary Mohamed Shuhaimi Yahya, who issued the letters terminating Mahathir and four other party members' memberships, but he was not there. So Mahathir then told the press that the party plans to sack President Muhyiddin Yassin instead.
Yeah, and meanwhile, all this, there was a video clip that has also been leaked to the public. In the clip, a purported senior Bersatu leader is heard saying that UMNO MPs could be convinced to defect if they were offered positions as ministers or in GLC. It adds intrigue to this whole political, I would say, it's like almost like a soap opera, isn't it? It's like never-ending sagas, right? So in the meantime, Bukit Gelugur MP Ramankar Pal Singh has since urged MACC and the Attorney General to investigate this alleged enticement.
So to help us understand this, we have on the line with us this morning Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Centre. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Ben. Now, the civil war in Bersatu really does appear to be firing up. So will Tun Mahathir be able to take back his party and get the Supreme Council to sack Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin?
Well, I think this is going to be a running battle with no clarity in sight. Partly because, I mean, judging by how politics and procedures work here, it tends to favor the incumbents, and it is also, I think, favors those who are in power. And so, in the situation that we are seeing between Dr. Mahathir and Tan Sri Muhyiddin, and one trying to sack the other, I think in the end, the advantage lies with the party president, Tan Sri Muhyiddin. Largely because, you know, he's running the organization. He has, I think, the majority of support within the organization as of now. But I think more importantly as well is that because, you know, he has powers over the government, so institutions like the Registrar of Societies will, I think, look at the situation more favorably towards his case. And so we will have a situation where it's going to be uncomfortable and it's going to be publicly embarrassing for both sides. But I think ultimately, as far as it's better to take control over the party, it might favour those who have leverages over state institutions. But having said that, whether this is going to solve the problem between the two gentlemen or not, I think it won't. You know, in the sense that going by how Dr. Mahathir works, as we've seen in past instances, if one pathway is blocked, he will certainly find other avenues to reach his goal.
And Ben, over the weekend, there was a leaked clip, right, which some say is purportedly a senior Bersatu member who, I won't reveal his name. Does this damage Tan Sri Muhyiddin's position in any way?
Well, I think, you know, what we are seeing in the public space is that, yes, number one, the clip has gone viral. You know, I myself have had like four different people sending it over to me just by WhatsApp. And I think it has already spread out. It's been reported in some of the online media portals. And so the damage is already done. But I think looking at how things work in this country as well as in other societies, pieces of information like this may help sway maybe a small number of people who are undecided. But I think most of the cases, it just solidifies or polarizes further the ground who are in support and those who are against him in this case. And so it provides just another reason why for people to feel A, something wrong has been done, or B, that this is not true and this is yet another attempt by his enemies to tarnish his image. You know, so you have further polarization, and it makes it harder for both sides to bridge the gap between them.
Now, Amanah Deputy President Datuk Salahuddin Ayub has said that Pakatan Harapan can retake Putrajaya before the next parliamentary sitting, which is expected to start in July. From your estimations, is this possible?
Well, a lot of the leaders have been saying that they have the numbers, and, you know, in a way, We are back to where we started before all of this change of government, developments later last year and also early this year that everybody claims they have numbers. And so I think number one, it just means that, politics will take center stage again. It's going to distract leaders from the things that they have to do. And I think also it is not going to really fit in well with what the public expects, which is, handling the pandemic as well as coming up with efforts to revive the economy. But having said that, can they do it? I think yes, possibly, in the sense that we know now the majority obtained by the Perikatan Nasional Administration is very, very slim. And therefore, just a handful of MPs crossing over, switching allegiances, can mean the collapse of their government. Now, the question is whether or not the parliament session in July is going to transpire at all. And if so, how will Perikatan or rather Pakatan Harapan and their allies achieve their goal of unseating the current prime minister? I find that although they might be able to produce the numbers, the process in which to get there and seize power again is quite murky.
And Ben, is this related to East Malaysia? Because we know that Sabah's Dato' Sri Muhammad Shafti Abdal is standing firm with Pakatan Harapan. But what about Sarawak? Will GPS stick it through with PN, or can PH actually draw support from them eventually?
So just going by what I said earlier, that, PN only has, a couple of MPs majority ahead of PH and the other opposition parties. Of course, all across the board, any kind of dissenting or dissatisfied MP is, ripe for exploitation by both sides. And I think in this situation, yes, Sabah and Sarawak does play a strong role. That while Sabah so far remains fairly solid with Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, Sarawak, I think, is a different situation. In a sense that GPS has, sided with Perikatan, but has refused to be part of Perikatan. So they want to retain some autonomy, some independence, distance away from the central government. And I think this harks back to the impending state election where they have their own political positioning they want to adhere to. But we do notice that just over the weekend, or rather on Friday itself, this new party, Parti Sarawak Bersatu, PSB, has announced its formation and displayed some of the leaders in the lineup. And in there is former PKR MP Barubian. So now we're hearing rumors that there might be others being persuaded to join this party. And this party's purpose is ostensibly to prepare for the upcoming state election. So you have a situation where, regional or state-based politics in Sarawak may affect national-level political alignments, partly because some people may be persuaded to cross over, because even if they stay with PN, they may not have a space in the Sarawak politics come election fairly soon.
Now, Ben, we've got just about a minute left. So very quickly, what is the role of Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim in all of this power struggle?
Yeah, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, I think, plays an important role, but however, maybe not at the spear tip, largely because, he leads PKR, which has a large block of MPs, more than 30, and ostensibly, he's also the leader of Pakatan Harapan. But I think that's sort of where things are. He has to decide for himself whether he wants to cooperate with his former nemesis, Dr. Mahathir, and then run the risk of being thwarted again at becoming prime minister, or stay the course and wait for general election 15 before he makes his another attempt.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Ben. That was Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, giving us some insight into the politics plaguing Bersatu at this present time. But right now we are heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that we're having the breakfast grill where Khoo Chuang speaks with Dato' Gary Chua, President of MRCA, and Tan Sri Teo Chiang Kok, President of the Malaysia Shopping Malls Association. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.